It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan.
31 days of Halloween.
Mary Shelley is an amazing author. Everybody knows that. And just to let you know, it's not Frankenstein. It's Frankenstein's monster. You know, Dr. Frankenstein's the one who made him. But as we advance more and more with our abilities, you know, in the realms of medical science and science at large, is it possible for us as human beings to not only reanimate tissue, but to actually bring bits and pieces of dead people back to life? And do you one better? Is it possible for us to sew them together and create, well, Frankenstein's monster? Shelley's Frankenstein is a masterpiece of science fiction that's remained a mainstay of popular culture for near two centuries. I mean, this is a really long story and very relatable because everybody wants to live forever, so to speak. Incredibly, Shelley first conceived of the story when she was 18 years old. The first edition was published anonymously when she was 20, with her name appearing on the second edition 5 years later. Some scholars even argue that Frankenstein is the first true science fiction story, blending reality and potential reality with fiction. In the novel, Shelley imagines a process wherein the remains of a deceased human being would be, well, kind of sewn together and reanimated. Oh boy, the story was the result of a challenge among Shelley, her future husband Percy Shelley, and Lord Byron to create a ghost story. Three of them spent hours and days together during the year without a summer, discussing myriad topics including horror and the nature of power, along with its fruits when we use properly or improperly. And this is completely off topic. In Newfoundland, there is no summer, so we should have great books like this all the time. It's easy to see how such discussions might result in a tale like the one Shelley penned. It is, after all, a story about, if not the misuse of power, then the use of power not sufficiently examined. But have we finally reached a point where the fiction of old might become reality? The notion of reviving the dead or creating a new creature from the disregarded pieces, well, it's nothing more than a macabre fantasy of the early 19th century. Modern medical science has seen a version of Frankenstein's experience come to fruition, though. That's got to do with external tissue replacement. Frankenstein's monster isn't exactly made from scratch. Instead, he's pieced together hodgepodge from stolen parts of recently deceased people. Victor Frankenstein acquired a foot here and a hand there, and he sews them all together until he has the parts he needs, not unlike building a car out of scrap. In our efforts to build a real-life Frankenstein's monster, though, in truth, monster is entirely the wrong word, it's just, you know, humans. This part of the endeavor is within the confines of tested science, though. That's not to say it's exactly going to be easy, but transplantation of limbs is still a fledgling science. While prostheses are still the typical treatment for loss of limb, in some cases, donor limbs can be attached successfully. How cool is that? Marine Sergeant John Peck, during his second tour of Afghanistan, came into contact with an IED that took his arms and legs. Upon his return home, he was fitted with prosthetics, but in 2014 was selected for something very special. Yeah, a procedure for transplantation of freaking donor limbs. The procedure took 12 doctors 14 hours to complete. The operation involved trimming Peck's remaining limbs and connecting blood vessels and nerves to the donor's tissues. Though these transplants can be completed successfully, they require a serious commitment on the part of the patient. Because, you know, it's kind of life-threatening to have limbs attached to you. According to the Mayo Clinic, finding a suitable donor is very difficult as well. Considerations must be made regarding blood and tissue type, as well as compatibility regarding size and muscle tissue, among other considerations, of course. Once completed, though, a patient is committed to a lifetime of, well, unfortunately, immunosuppressants, physical therapy, and, of course, regular checkups. Similar procedures have been completed with other patients to some success. These types of operations can improve the quality of life in patients and go a long way toward improving medical science, though medical science has some way to go before, you know, perfecting the so-called limb replacement. It is the hope that doctors and scientists involved, that through the generous sacrifice of donors, I hope you're an organ donor, by the way, do it for Frank, and the bravery of those pioneering patients, procedures like these will be improved and, in the future, will restore function and quality of life to any patient who may need it. Internal organ transplant is another version of this. While it might not seem that external tissues like hands and feet would be easy to replace, the opposite is true. Transplantation of limbs is a relatively new field of research, while organ transplantation is now considered, well, routine. The first successful kidney transplant was all the way back in 1954. We've had some time to work on this, people. The first human heart was transplanted back in 67. And I mean, that patient did really, really well. He lived for 18 days. After this procedure, heart transplants took off, with 100 being done the following year, though many patients died due to rejection of the new tissues. Today, tens of thousands of organ transplants are completed every year because the technology has gotten better. But I mean, you can't have a monster without some kind of working brain. Although, recent forays into politics from US of A and, of course, Canada have made me kind of wonder, but, you know, to much the chagrin of all the political people out there, as if American Victor Frankenstein in our attempt to build a human being from the ground up, the last remaining piece truly is the brain. The notion of transplanting a brain from one body to another has existed for some time. There have even been efforts to complete such a procedure, but not have yet come to fruition. Some efforts have been made, however. Total head transplants of animals have been completed to moderate successes. Transplantation of a complete brain has, as of yet, not been completed and is not being supported in the United States. Apparently, it's not really ethical to transplant brains. I have no idea why. Of course, every freaking paranormal show has had some kind of, you know, switching bodies thing, freaky Friday thing going on. Maybe that has something to do with it. That doesn't mean the research toward brain preservation isn't going forward, though. According to MIT Technology Review researchers, they recently harvested pigs' brains 4 hours after death and restored total cellular function. Wow. As a result of all this, a number of researchers within the neuroscience community have published an editorial discussing potential rules and protections regarding experimentation utilizing living brain tissue brains. And Deborah, one of the authors of the editorial, state, "We need to remember, the isolated brain is not the same as other organs." You think? I mean, And like, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of people out there I know that if they got their heads opened up, all that's going to come out is a couple of rocks and maybe a few moths. Me hope you love this show. Friend, good. Don't forget to subscribe, guys. I hope you're enjoying 31 Days of Halloween. Frankenstein's monster is apparently possible, and within 100 years or so, I'd say we'll probably see a living, breathing, or should I say was living, was breathing, but it's technically now living and breathing once again. Okay, I'll just use the reanimated word. We're going to see reanimated humans at some point walking around, acting like nothing can hurt them or take them out. When you think about it, though, what a lonely life it would be to live forever. Thankfully, I'm not going to live forever, so make sure you subscribe to this podcast and enjoy the rest of 31 Days of Halloween. See you tomorrow, guys.